want to talk about. Let's talk about Game 7. Let's talk about beer.
That's a jumping off point right there. Game 7. First, cheers. We're drinking, thanks to Bill. Bill brought over some resin IPA from Six Point Craft Ales.
Out of Brooklyn.
Yeah. Out of Brooklyn, all right. Okay, 9.1%. 103 IBUs, 9.5 SRM. What is SRM?
I actually don't know.
Serum. That's enough of that.
This is episode 18 of the Jim Bear Show. I'm Bill Anacino.
Yeah. The host. I'm just the Jim.
Yeah, this is the Jim Bear Show with your host, Bill Anacino.
Let's talk, actually, before we get to Game 7, let's talk about Game 1 of Western Conference Finals. Pretty much what happened was it was all Spurs until the third quarter, and Zaza slid under Kawhi, who's taking a three, rolled his ankle. That was the turning point of the game.
You know what's eye-opening is that the Spurs were dominating with Kawhi Leonard. Maybe makes you rethink the MVP discussion.
Plus 25 with him and plus 23 with him and minus 25 without him.
He's a hell of a player.
Yeah. Already they would have won for Game 2.
He's out for Game 2. I was talking to someone last night about it, and I don't think Pop's going to push Kawhi to come back because he knows they're not going to win this year.
That's a good reason. I'm sure that's passing through his brain. He said in the Zaza conference, talking about that, he said, yeah, most people have, you know, the Warriors down as like a 99.5% chance to beat us. I think he understands where they stand, and I think he's a little more optimistic, and he thinks maybe he can kind of do what he did with Tony Parker and Patty Mills,
they're too shallow right now.
And they don't even have, you'd say LaMarcus Aldridge is the best player in that team right now.
Without Kawhi, yeah.
And he's, the fifth, sixth best player in the series?
If he shows up like he did at the end of the Houston series, he's right there. He had a rough season with that heart ailment, but
even so,
sleeping on how good LaMarcus Aldridge is.
At his very best, he's maybe, it's 1-4, and then you got a bunch of guys.
Yeah, at his very best, he's like a step below, I guess, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. Not as versatile as Draymond.
That's fair.
So maybe he's better than Klay Thompson, I guess.
So where do you think this goes, 5?
4 or 5. If Kawhi, I would hold Kawhi out the rest of the series, but I say it goes 4 or 5.
Yeah. Unless he comes right back, let's see. I mean, they're gonna lose Game 2 in Oakland without Kawhi.
That is gonna be a massacre.
And then it does depend if he comes back for 3. It looks like it was just a rolled ankle, right? I mean, not just a rolled ankle. The ankle was already injured and strained, sprained.
But it's like structurally weak now, so I don't know. Does it make sense to keep throwing him out there for a series they're not gonna win?
Yeah, what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. So I mean, no, it really doesn't. I can see that side of the argument. But if they steal maybe Game 3 in San Antonio, and we're starting to think about Kawhi coming back, I can see him making a difference. They're making it interesting and taking it 6. I don't want to get crazy with it, but you know, the first 3 quarters of that game or 2.5 quarters of that game were something. Can't be ignored. So that's where we're at. That's Western Conference Finals. That's still a long shot. It's gonna be just waiting for the Warriors to win. In the East here, yeah, like you said, Game 7. You got that today at 8 o'clock. We're recording this sometime around 6 Eastern, so we got a couple hours here.
For the 10 of you listening, this was recorded before the game started.
Right.
I got Washington winning. I think they're a better team.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said earlier, I've been kind of running this through my head, and I think Wall and Buehler are the best players in the series. I love Isaiah Thomas, but I think that's the best backcourt.
So let's get it out of the way. You're not a Boston fan.
You can't be
a Boston fan if you pick against them in Game 7.
I'm not. You know how I am with NBA. All right,
you're not a Celtics fan. I've heard you say it before. Let's get it on.
I enjoy the Celtics.
Are you a Celtics fan?
I'm a LeBron fan right now. If I have to identify as anything, man, I got an NBA when I'm like 12 or 13. I'm too old to like.
Most 12 to 13-year-olds.
Oh, I'm going to be a Knicks. I knew too much to be like, oh, I'm going to be a Knicks fan. Or, you know, but I was watching a lot of Paul Pierce right before all the help came. And then the help came at a convenient time, and I was paying attention to them and LeBron and the Cavs.
It's not like he had no help before. They had some good teams.
Right.
Antoine Walker, most notably.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't have any strong affiliation to a team. I enjoy Boston, but I think right now I want a win more for Wall and Beal. Mostly Wall, just for...
They're going to give the Cavs trouble.
They are. They already have. And we'll see. I mean, it means a lot as far as legacy goes. I don't want to dive into that whole conversation, but just it's a perk. Those legacy points that you get in Madden are, you know, it means something. We look at a player a little bit differently if they end up facing off against LeBron.
John Wall's still a young guy.
Right. He
26
is,
or something.
He is. But, I mean, the bump that they gave Paul George and those Pacers teams, you know, just by... They didn't even make it out of the conference, but...
Did it really give them that much of a bump?
I think we've been...
Ray Hibbert's pretty much out of the league.
Right.
Paul George is...
Lance Stephenson left and came back.
Yeah. I don't think it gave much of a bump. The coach has already been fired. Larry Bird's gone.
I mean, it puts you where the Clippers are, or where, you know, the Pacers have been, or the
Hawks. I'll tell you right now, where the Clippers are is nowhere you want to be. Same with the Hawks.
Right.
More so the Clippers, because the Hawks have never had the hot, like... They've never had the expectation to contend.
And the Clippers never made it to a conference final. So
no, they could have won here. So they imploded against the Warriors.
They clippered. Sorry, that's where we're at with basketball. We got the lotto tomorrow.
Yep.
There's a chance the Lakers don't see a pick.
Yeah, 51% chance. Their pick's top three protected. If it falls outside of the top three, they don't keep it.
That's
right. It goes to 76ers, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they can waste it on another center.
We'll see how that goes. Who do you think's the best player?
In the draft? Man, that's a tough one. I like that Josh Jackson kid from Kansas, honestly.
What he can be? Just because he's young and...
Well, yeah,
and...
It's all what they can be. We're picking about 19-year-old kids, you know?
Right.
There's no one in this draft that's polished.
That's true. I mean...
Markelle Fultz couldn't even pull his team to the tournament.
He's
Lonzo Ball shot all Jackson.
So Lonzo. Yeah.
Those are that's fixable, but there's no polished player like Karl Anthony Towns in this year's draft.
Is Frank Mason just the next Buddy Hield?
Frank Mason could be a useful guard off the bench. I'm not discounting...
He's a four-year guy.
I'm not discounting Frank Mason. He's probably one of the more ready-to-play players.
Yeah.
I would take Josh Jackson, I guess. Fuck.
Yeah.
Who else even? I mean... The two kids from Kentucky, not really a big fan of either of them.
Monk or Fox?
I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd take Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Monk could turn into like Klay Thompson. He's a good shooter.
I don't think any of these guys are going to be real flops. I think all these guys are going to have jobs in the NBA for a few years. They don't look like anybody, I don't know, I guess we didn't smell it beforehand, but I don't know if I'd sniff any Anthony Bennett's or whatever his name is.
Yeah, it is Anthony Bennett. Someone's gonna get a steal with Isaiah Meeks or Jody Meeks.
Jody Meeks.
No, Jody Meeks, the kid from the...
I know who you're talking about.
The kid, Kennedy Meeks.
Okay.
From UNC.
Okay.
He's been dominating the NBA combine, which is a joke, but he can still play.
It means something. It gives you a bump.
That big man from Arizona is an intriguing pick. What's his name? Lauri Markkanen.
Yes.
It is
Lauri
Markkanen.
From Arizona. Yeah.
I could get involved in him.
Everybody's a one and done-er, I feel like. Not everybody, but yeah, they all.
That freshman from the backup center for Gonzaga, I might take a flyer on him. I think Williams Goss will be in the draft. This was a year without a dominant player.
Right. I mean, it's been a couple of years, I feel like, right? I mean, I don't know if you can call Ben Simmons dominant because he didn't,
absolutely not.
Didn't
make
playoffs.
The NCAA tournament.
Right. So you see, it's kind of random, just taking it. Because we're trying to just create time here. You know, we're trying to make this good for you. The Seahawks have, I guess, expressed interest in
Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Good, whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Those are Russell Wilson-type guys, I guess. If he goes down, it would be... I mean, don't they have Boykins?
It's Trayvon.
Trayvon
Boykin.
Boykin.
Yeah.
Singular Boykin.
Singular. That team's their window shot. Yeah.
That's close.
Their defense isn't what it used to be.
It almost slammed shut when they almost dealt Richard Sherman. I still feel like they need another draft.
Trading Sherman.
It's really, yeah, it's just been so many years since that draft class or those draft classes, and those names are starting to get expensive.
Well, Sherman's 29. I think Earl Thomas is 29.
Russell Wilson's
kind of
plateaued a little bit.
I mean, Russell Wilson's still a good quarterback.
Oh, he's not a bad quarterback at all, but
He just was too good too early. That's a problem with quarterback narratives, right? So you get a guy like Russell Wilson. He wins a Super Bowl second year as a starter, and then the rest of his season, his career maybe never makes it back to the Super Bowl. And everyone says, oh, he peaks too early. Versus a guy like, I don't know, Drew Brees.
Right.
Or someone who, you know, good whole career, and then, like, in the middle they win a Super Bowl, or even towards the end. It doesn't matter when you win your Super Bowl.
No, for narrative purposes.
Narratives are stupid.
But narratives are stupid, but yeah, oh, you're right.
Russell Wilson just keep playing out the string, make a few more Pro Bowls, go into the Hall of Fame, whatever.
I think Joe Flacco kind of, what does it do for him in 3 years if he doesn't, if the Ravens are just garbage?
Yeah, no one can ever take away they went 11-0 in the playoffs and won them a Super Bowl.
Damn right.
He played lights out and made some huge throws. The throw over Chris Harris.
Someone wins, like, you know, championships, MVPs, just historic seasons, all that kind of stuff stays forever. But there's, I just feel like winning success at a decent level coasts. Gets a lot of players, mostly quarterbacks,
like
coaches. Get some, hey, you win this year, you played well, you get an extra few years where we overlook some shit.
Like Peyton Manning.
I think Peyton Manning was pretty consistently good.
In the regular season. Consistently awful in the playoffs.
That's right. So, I mean, I could say, you know, it's every year, the season's 16 games long, and the playoffs are, for him, 1 to 3 games, you know? So
he has some all-time playoff meltdowns. It's a 4-pick game against the Patriots. Law just destroying him in that other Patriots game. The Seahawks Super Bowl.
In the same vein, losses like that. Having those one, the stains on your brain that you just don't, you realize you're like, yeah, I'm not forgetting that time that Peyton threw 4 interceptions. Like, that's going to hurt him in your mind more than, I mean, just as much as the highest.
You know me, I was never a big Manning guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys who lose in the playoffs a lot, and it gets overlooked, though. Matt Ryan, for example.
Why does Blake Bortles still have a job?
Because he's still on his rookie contract and he's cheap.
Might as well. Is there hope, or is it just that? No.
Didn't they draft a quarterback? I thought they might have. I don't even remember.
That means he's good. Yeah.
That makes sense. This wasn't really a quarterback draft. I saw Patrick Mahomes got robbed at gunpoint.
Patrick Mahomes did? Since getting drafted?
Yesterday or today.
Has he even received money? Does that make sense? No.
I don't know. I mean, just random violence.
Fair. And no, I do not see a quarterback here on the... The old Jaguars.
I guess not.
So.
Vinny, dog on!
Oh,
turn that off.
This is professional, damn it. So we got anything else, or are we just wasting people's time?
I don't know. I mean, do you want to go into why maybe the Wizards are going to win tonight? For me, it's...
Well, no, because everybody, by the time they listen to it, it's going to have aired, and they're going to go, yeah, these people just taking stabs at it.
If they win, which I expect them to do, it's because Bradley Beal kills the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the same page. And, I mean... Wall might help fill out the scoreboard, fill out the stat sheet. He started slow a lot. And, yeah, Beal's just been consistently good. So I'm with that. And what if the Celtics – what does it take for the Celtics to win game home – or, you know, game 7 at home?
There's 40 points from Isaiah Thomas. Another big game from Horford. One of their defenders to step up and contribute points. It was
Crowder
Avery
taking a lot of shots.
Well, it was Avery Bradley 2 games ago.
It was Avery Bradley. I think, I don't know if that was an aberration either. I think Avery Bradley might be.
They got 3 of the same guy.
Yeah.
They got Bradley, Smart, and Crowder, who I think
it'll be a team effort.
Thing.
It looks so much different when, yeah, you're right. It can be boiled down to Beal and Wall, and then on the other side, it's a true team. Obviously, you got Thomas getting the bulk of the points, but. You know, sometimes Bradley shoots a lot, sometimes Crowder shoots a lot, sometimes Horford shoots more.
We never really covered what the fuck happened with James Harden. Pretty much every...
Yeah, let's get into that.
Every podcast I've listened to has tried to tackle it.
What's
just had a bad game.
Do you don't think it was a interest thing, a engagement issue?
Why would it be? What do you mean?
Do you think... Between him and D'Antoni, they decided that you need to just distribute to kick off the game. You need to once you get the other guys going and things are going to go well. And then once he couldn't really get that going, he got three fouls early on, turned the ball over five times before halftime,
I believe. I think he was hurt a lot worse in these playoffs than we really remember.
The wrist and the ankle?
Yeah, the wrist and the ankle. Houston was a good team. They're still a piece away.
It's just it's sad to see him because I felt like he was ready to just take over that game. And in every sense.
Yeah, but you can't discount an injury.
True.
If he's especially a wrist. You try
as a guy that's handling the ball.
Yeah, I don't know. It sucks for poor James Harden.
I mean, yeah, sucks to suck.
But his teammates really fucked him. Like, Ryan Anderson shooting 10% at home.
Lou Will taking too many shots.
Well, that's what he does, and it's up to Mike D'Antoni to kind of calm him down. But, you know, they got, like, nothing from Gordon and
Beverly?
Well, Beverly is what he is. Well, Gordon and Anderson were invisible men. Ariza was, like, a total
waste.
Nene went down, yeah. they were toast.
True.
Nene's only making $3 million this year, and he's off the books after this, so.
So where are the Spurs filling in those points? I know we were just.
The Spurs or the Rockets?
The Spurs.
Where are they going to fill in their points without Kawhi Leonard?
Right.
They're not. They're going to get absolutely destroyed.
No Gasol. They should. But if there's any. I'd say still it's like a Patty Mills, Danny Green, Three Fest, and LaMarcus Aldridge. That's the best. I mean, I know when you pair it up that they're going against Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. That's Draymond Green.
Kevin Durant,
yeah. Whatever.
It's over.
It is over.
Who do you... Warriors in four?
No, I think Warriors in five. I'm hoping for Warriors in six or something better, but I feel like these playoffs have kind of, I don't know, set the bar a little bit low for me.
Suck.
The first round was fun-ish.
Was it?
It was okay. There was some good stuff. And then the second round was absolutely dreadful. It's still going on. I mean, there's the two sweeps really killed it. For sure. Because then you have less basketball to deal with. You know, if you have two games on the same day, there's a chance that the second game will kind of wash away the bad taste in your mouth from the first one. Or, you know, at least you can get one good game out of two, you're fine. But, like, when all the games are sweeps and then you're dealing with, like, basketball only on 2 out of 3 days and they're double-digit losses and wins, whatever. It's that was dumb. And still, we're on track for the inevitable Cavs-Warriors. So, but we're still talking NBA for some reason.
We're not on track for that if the Wizards win. We'll see.
You think so? Yeah. I think LeBron's been resting in his cryo chamber, like Master
Dude,
Chief.
I'm so sick of LeBron, man.
Okay, but just I'm starting to think. You know, I'm a big LeBron fan. There's a LeBron jersey on that chair, but I'm starting to think that, like, if he can make it through this series fairly quick, this next one against the Wizards or Celtics, and again he gets more rest, and it's suddenly he's the best player on the court against the Warriors, who have that, you know, obvious, the whole team there, and he just plays, he almost doesn't come out. I could see him just being so rested and so ready to go and realizing that this would be a moment that would totally shift the narrative of his career for a lot of people, and he pays attention to that kind of shit.
Dude, I have to.
He knows
how
big the stage is.
Why that shifts the narrative for him?
If he beats this team,
does that erase the four finals losses?
No, but what's the best team that Jordan ever beat in the finals?
Well, I don't know. Jordan's overrated.
Okay, but I'm just saying that's where the bar is set, though. I know you're more of a Kareem guy than a Jordan guy, but
Kareem beat the '87 Celtics in the finals.
Okay, I mean if this is. LeBron beat
some great teams.
The 15 and 16, or, you know, 16, 17 Warriors. That's, I think.
With some help from the commissioner, Steph Curry was hurt.
Yeah, and he also, if you want to start throwing asterisks in there, the time that he made it with that Cleveland squad that Mo Williams was the second best player, or the time that he lost Kyrie and Kevin Love in the playoffs, and he still took the Warriors 6. I don't know. He lost to who? Popovich once, those guys. Tim Duncan, who I know he's like. We're having a goddamn LeBron conversation again. He's top 10.
Dude, eventually, enough time will pass for where you realize, wow, LeBron really wasn't that good.
All right. And these will be little time capsules we can jump back into.
It'll be the incrementalists of you realizing LeBron was overrated.
We'll see.
You know how everyone always gets on LeBron's dick because he's made it to 7 finals?
Yeah.
You know who else made it to 7 finals? Yeah. A guy named Kobe Bryant. You know what Kobe Bryant didn't do? Lose 4 of them.
You know what he didn't do? Did he play 8?
No, he played 7.
No, okay. LeBron's 32.
So? I guess it's not a big deal to me if you make it to the finals and lose.
Okay.
You think Brad Stevens thinks back to his 2 losses in Butler and is like, man, that was awesome. That was great.
I got him a job with the Celtics.
Yeah, great. I lost to Duke. That was great. Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I almost won the presidency.
The only thing is that, I mean, the Bills have been coasting off of 4 Super Bowl losses for
years. Yeah, the Bills, they should be celebrating. Man, Scott Norwood missed that kick. Awesome, we were there. This is the logic.
I know, but I mean, I'm not, this goes kind of with the conversation we were having earlier about just coaching off wins and losses and just high points of achievement. I think that's a win. If you make it to 4 straight finals or Super Bowls or World
and
Series.
And lose them all,
I think it's better than not making them at all.
No.
I think losing, if the Bills won 4 straight AFC champ, or 4 straight, like just divisional round games and made it to the conference championship every year and lost, would it? It wouldn't be the same. I feel like the Bills would be
good. No, because it wouldn't be historically awful. It'd just be awful. Yeah, it still would have been a team that couldn't make it over the hump. Jesus. They didn't just lose those Super Bowls either. Like the Scott Norwood game, they should have won. The second Cowboys thing, good Lord. They were, you know, if that's your comparison, LeBron and the early 90s Bills, that's not good.
I'm just spitballing, throwing a bunch of shit.
Do we even like LeBron?
We? No.
No.
I like LeBron. That's my LeBron jersey in the room with us.
You know how when I knew that LeBron wasn't really, he was a pretender?
How?
When I was a Lakers, well, I'm still a Lakers fan. Back in 09 when the Lakers beat the Magic, I know me and every other Lakers fan I knew were sitting there saying, all right, I hope LeBron makes the finals so we can finally settle this.
I wanted that too. I feel like everybody wants closure.
No, because there is at no point did I ever say, man, I hope the Celtics make it again because they were good. You don't want to play a guy that you're afraid of.
You don't want to play the best team. You don't want to have the best championship.
Not really.
As a fan of the team. I wanted Tom Brady. I didn't play against Tom Brady, but I wanted the Giants to play against Tom Brady. And I feel like the Falcons and Falcons fans were as jazzed up as you can be about a Super Bowl. You know, maybe gets your play to a different level than it could. I don't know. I don't think effort's a level if you're playing in a championship. But, you know, playing against Tom Brady's stakes are higher. I feel like that's not – it means more. I mean, losing to the Patriots would be obviously shittier than beating a meh team in the Super Bowl, but a win over the Patriots means more than a win over the Bengals or something stupid. Feel me?
Eh, no. I don't feel you.
Yeah.
I think you'd rather just win the championship. It doesn't really matter who it's against. Unless you're a Lakers fan and you have the luxury to be able to pick and choose. I just remember in 09, we all wanted LeBron, so we wanted to win.
So, by the same logic, it doesn't really matter who you beat in the conference finals.
No.
Or in the division. It doesn't matter if they're a good team or a bad team. A win is a win is a win, and it's impressive.
It's not impressive, it's necessary.
Okay. Well, LeBron met that challenge quite a bit throughout his career. You know, like 6 times in a row here. 7 times total.
What, making it to the finals?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's lost more than he's won, so.
No, I bet his playoff record is comparable. It takes a little bit of digging to get it up on Basketball Reference, but his winning percentage, I think, is within, you know, it's close
to. What about in the finals?
Might be better. In the finals, no. I'm sure if you take away the finals and just do playoffs.
Well, yeah, but if you did that, you know, the Clippers have a few rings up there.
Right. God damn it.
You know, you go to the dance to fuck the prom queen, you know?
Some people do. Some of the people just go to have a good time.
If I'm making the quote correct, it's from Sean Connery in The Rock.
Some people.
Yeah. Losers go home and cry, winners go to the prom and fuck the prom queen or something.
Fuck the prom. Yeah. You think he went to prom?
Sean Connery?
You went to, like, Scottish prom, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think that's from LeBron's The Rock. That's from The Rock.
Yeah, I believe so.
It's a good movie.
It was a good movie.
We can...
This win doesn't do much for my legacy with LeBron.
I know. I don't think you're ever going to respect him.
Those four losses will loom so large. Because one was a sweep. Another was a five-game loss. Another was...
six games against the Warriors without Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving.
Well, that. But I was talking about what he did in 2011.
Six games?
Yeah. It's telling that in a
new team first year, yeah. I know, but yeah.
And they were pretty heavily favored in that series, but it's pretty telling that the guy's been swept out of the finals and that's not the career-defining series loss for him.
We'll see what happens with the 17 Warriors. The 17 Warriors might be the new 11 Heat, you know?
The what?
The 17 Warriors might be the new 11 Heat.
Why?
Hey, look at this team. You just put it together. It's fucking incredible. It's way better than any other team. Oh, you lost? How'd that happen? And then you get Draymond Green yelling in Kevin Durant's face, and this time it's not a meme, and it's like...
Draymond wouldn't do that. He's not stupid.
No, but I can see, I don't know, somebody shaking their head, you know, getting upset. We saw Curry throw a mouthpiece last year. They have a breaking point. No, yeah, they get upset.
I've thrown punches playing basketball, and, you know, that's nowhere near.
So maybe the chemistry isn't quite there yet. Kevin Durant hasn't played.
But that's the thing. They didn't put this team together. They added a free agent. And this team has already won a title together.
That's true. That is different.
Yeah, it's not like LeBron taking the coward's way out. What?
Nothing.
That cuts deep, right?
No.
Why?
Because I'm just so
that doesn't cut deep?
No.
As a LeBron fan, knowing that he did that, I think somewhere deep down you know it was cowardly.
Leaving Cleveland?
Yeah.
No. It was different.
You know how everyone gets on Floyd Mayweather because he never fights, like, really good fighters? That's right. LeBron.
Because he never left the East?
Well, and that he went and joined up with his biggest rival in the East.
Did they ever play in the playoffs prior to that?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think
they're
so.
Still
no.
Rivals.
They're still rivals. They're just East mates.
The first and second best player in the conference.
Yeah, maybe. I guess so.
I don't know. I know a lot of NBA greats thought it was a stupid move.
Yeah, a lot of people were pissed off because then it kind of led to what's happening now, and people just either
it just bastardized competition.
Okay, it's not his job. You know, it's the people who facilitate basketball. To decide, like David Stern, where he vetoed the fucking, like, that's, see? LeBron has the amount of control that he is granted as a player. I mean, he's obviously politicked himself, you know, up the ladder a little bit, and LeBron is also a GM and guy that, like, constructs teams and pulls teams together. And if you hold that, you know, it's easy to hold that against him as a player. Say, oh, you surround yourself with better players and coworkers.
I don't think GM LeBron has done very well.
He's won what?
He overpaid. He, or GM LeBron, overpaid Tristan Thompson.
Okay.
They traded Andrew Wiggins for a player who's worse than Andrew Wiggins. Kyrie Irving's already there.
Both of those are, okay. Since then, Tristan Thompson has made two finals and won one, and he's been a hell of a defensive
rebounder. Tristan Thompson got his contract this offseason.
Yeah, I would not send, okay. But, yeah. The Cavs are still the defending champs.
Yeah, you paid.
Yeah. You brought up The Rock and Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. Got me thinking. Nicolas Cage is an interesting dude.
What? You know he won an Oscar?
Let me guess. Moonlight? No, not Moonlight. I'm sorry. The one with where he had one hand and he was with Cher?
That is Moonlight.
That was Moonlight?
No. Not for that.
Oh, right. The new Moonlight. That's what threw me off.
I'm trying to think of if he won, like, the Oscar for Best Actor. If you can believe it.
It wasn't National Treasure?
No, National Treasure's a great flick. It was not National
It was not
Treasure.
The Rock?
No, it was not The Rock.
It was it Face Off?
No.
How about... It was probably a love story, I think.
I can't remember what it was called. Oh, it's for Leaving Las Vegas. I don't need to look that up.
Gotcha. But, yeah, I think... And then... He had the stretch in the past, like, 10 years where he's just taken whatever the hell is given to him. That's kind of been...
Some of those movies have been good.
Some of them have been good. Some of them have been bad.
That Lord of War movie, that was pretty good.
There was, Death Rider or whatever that was?
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
There was also The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I didn't see that shit.
Neither did I. And there was another, I don't know. But he's also in Con Air and The Rock and, like, National Treasure.
If Nicolas Cage was black, you know what they call him? Samuel L. Jackson.
Let me see. I guess so.
You thought it was going to be your...
No. Joke. I was thinking, like, Jamie Foxx or something like that. I don't know. But no, the Rock, just because of... He's been all over the place.
I said Samuel Jackson.
Or not The Rock, I'm sorry. Yeah, Samuel Jackson's been in a bunch of different movies, and he's... You can throw him in as anything, really. He can be a supporting character, lead character, just a Jedi. Tom Hanks, though, like... He's the guy that is never really anything but a main character. But I think there's something to be said about.
We had a time Hanks discussion with Schofield.
We did. No, I'm just saying. I'm just kind of, you know, bringing it around.
Was he the main character of Philadelphia? Or is Denzel?
Co-mains.
He dies in it, if you haven't seen him. Sorry.
Yeah, it's been a few years. I think... Yeah.
Philadelphia is a superior movie to Forrest Gump.
Just because it's focused and it's not... It's
just a great flick.
Man. I think comedies get a bad rap. And throwing comedy in feels... It made you laugh a few times.
Yeah, but so did... Well, I'm not going to say that, but there's a lot of things that make me laugh that shouldn't.
I guess so. You know what movie made me laugh? I was thinking about earlier.
What?
Tropic Thunder.
Schindler's List.
No.
Not Schindler's
List. I was
List.
Making out during Schindler's List.
What?
I was making out during Schindler's List, you know?
Who gets pissed about that? Is it Uncle Leo? Or is it his parents?
I think it was his parents, yes.
Yeah.
No, but Tropic Thunder, that's a funny movie, right?
Dude, yeah.
Like,
especially
funny.
Since, like, no one knew Tom Cruise was in it.
Right. I heard, saw this today, actually, it got me thinking about it. Tom Cruise was supposed to be Tug Speedman.
Like, yeah.
And then, but, you know, they switched. Stiller stepped up and then Stiller offered him the cameo. I was watching the...
It wasn't just a cameo.
He's
fucking funny as Les Grossman.
He is.
He wasn't, like, on any of the posters or anything. Like, no one knew he was in that movie.
Right.
Some people still don't know. If you mentioned the Tom Cruise in that, they aren't aware that's him.
The trailers at the very beginning of it all really set it up nicely. Like, they show, you know, the booty sweat.
Yeah.
And then they got the Scorcher and then the Jack Black movie about farts that it's just like an Eddie Murphy... the Clumps or whatever, and then you got
the Nutty Professor Meet the Clumps.
And then you got Robert Downey Jr. in that Gay Priest movie with Tobey Maguire.
Jesus,
Tropic
Thunder is a funny movie.
It was creative the way it set it up.
You know, it's an underrated funny movie is The Other Guys.
Yes, I was
the first time
Aim for the Bushes.
Huh?
Aim for the Bushes.
Yeah, the first time I saw that, I saw it in theaters, and I was not in the proper state of mind to see it. I was way too out there.
Yeah.
I was, like, staring at the wall.
Was it funny?
We left. We were, like, sitting
But when
there.
Did you... When you really seriously watched it for the first time?
I rewatched it, and I wasn't quite as out there. And, man, it cracks... Every line is funny to me.
It really is. It's a good movie. The Pimps Don't Cry, you know, Will Ferrell singing.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg is a funny dude, too. That's a good combo. I feel like...
What's your favorite Mark Wahlberg movie?
The Fighter.
Yeah, dude, you stole that from me.
No, we were talking about that last podcast, and, I mean, if you want to start ranking Mark Wahlberg movies, I'm sure our list would shake out maybe a little differently, but...
Because you have that corny...
And I saw and seen Boogie
Nights. You've never seen Boogie Nights?
Yeah, man.
What the fuck?
I don't know. It's out there. I get it.
You probably have that corny Departed shit pretty high up there.
Probably.
So my favorite Mark Wahlberg movie is The Fighter. Boogie Nights is number two. Those are tough. That's tough. Christian Bale's in The Fighter, but Philip Seymour Hoffman and John C. Reilly are in Boogie Nights. So is Burt Reynolds. So is William H. Macy.
William H. Macy's the guy that made The Leap.
I don't watch that Shameless show.
No, but it's there. You know, it happened. Like, it's like Weeds. It's not like Weeds. I'm just saying, you know, when you have a show that takes off and goes 7+ seasons or
people
something
like
that,
it, but has it taken off?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's one of the more popular ones that I, like, you know, walk into a house and they're binge-watching a show.
That's
Shameless is up there.
Whenever I walk into someone's place and I see, like, a Sopranos DVD or if they're watching The Sopranos, I'm like, all right, you're a cultured person.
You think higher of them.
Absolutely.
You look down on
them. I'll talk Sopranos. That's a show that doesn't get its Like, among people with a brain in their head, it gets their just... It gets its just, like, appreciation.
But popular.
But, like, you could, like, everyone I know has seen Breaking Bad. They all think it's amazing, but, like...
Well, it's HBO compared to AMC, too. AMC is more available.
So everyone watch this stupid Game of Thrones shit.
That's transcendent. That's
popular
at another level.
Sopranos is the greatest television show that was ever made. It's only popular at another level because it came around in the age of streaming. The Sopranos started 2 years ago.
That's a good point.
It would have dwarfed Game of Thrones.
I don't know about dwarfed.
Have you seen it?
I've seen a lot of them.
The Sopranos?
Yeah.
Why don't you just watch it?
Okay, I will.
Why don't you just watch it? Everyone's seen The Wire. A lot of people seen The Wire.
Right.
No one's seen Oz. Oz is good. More than half the people I know probably haven't seen The Sopranos. It's like, how?
That was a little bit prior to our generation. That was airing when?
But it's out there.
No, it is out there. But you're right. The fact that it didn't come out during the streaming era changes things.
HBO's smart that they let you use HBO Go on as many things as you want. It's all available. There's no excuse for not having seen The Sopranos in 2017.
That's true.
It's so superior to anything I've ever seen. You know?
How much does Tony Soprano change? Don't tell me what happened. Well, does he change? Or is it a lot around him that just like that goes on?
It's not some corny transformation.
It's not Breaking Bad. I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying, like...
Breaking Bad ripped a lot of shit off from The Sopranos, but that wasn't one of them.
Okay, so Tony is pretty much Tony.
Tony's Tony. I mean, they make the point during the show that he's a sociopath. He kind of is who he is.
So who's the most relatable character in the show?
To me?
To the common man, to anybody, to the regular viewer. Is Tony the protagonist? He's the anti-hero, I know.
Yeah, he is the anti-hero. I would say he's the protagonist.
It's hard to relate to somebody that has sociopathic tendencies, though, right?
I don't know. It depends on how you view the show.
I guess so.
Because I'm sitting there and...
Even when Walter White broke bad, I mean, that's what I feel like Jesse did for the show.
Walter White wasn't as cool as he could have been. He could have been, like, the man, you know? Like, really savage criminal. And he was always still trying to play cool, like, I don't know, it pisses me off.
How savage? What do you mean? Just killing more?
He could have whacked people. Like, he could have built a criminal enterprise, and he never got all the way into it.
No.
Like, Tony Soprano was feared.
I think Walter was just trying to make his... I think he got to a point where he was just making so much money, he's like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing with this. I don't think he... He did love the game, and he probably would have figured that out in the long run, but...
Too many Breaking Bad episodes were just, like, him and his bitch wife arguing about shit, and then the episode ends. And they killed off the best character too early.
Gus?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I guess it was good.
In any sort of realistic portrayal, Gus would have killed Walter way earlier. He would have figured out his recipe and killed him. Right?
Probably.
He was so mouthy to Gus.
He was.
Walter was an ingrate.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
He never really smooth-talked his way into anything.
Bro, when Gus gave him that first deal where he was like, oh, I'll pay you $1 million a week. It wasn't $1 million a week. It was like $3 million a year, whatever the hell it was. All you gotta do is come here, make meth, and leave.
Yeah.
That's it. Just come here, make meth for 8 hours, and leave. No one knows about it. We'll run everything. You don't have to be involved in anything beyond cooking. And it wasn't good enough. That's what wasn't ever explained. Like, why was Walter White such a fucking asshole?
Because it started, I need to make money for the family, for cancer, and all that. And then it kind of just got into, like, he just got so lost in the sauce. And he changed as a person. And that changed person just wanted more and more and more. And it's kind
of
like...
He changed in the wrong way. He became a piece of shit, not like a badass.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That's what really...
No, that's right. That's why he... There's a point, I can't remember, I can't pinpoint it. I haven't rewatched it in a while. I've probably seen it two times. But
the point where he's...
Where he just, like, really, really flips the switch and starts becoming not just bad, but, like,
when,
unrelatable.
It's when he tells Skyler that he's the one who knocks.
I guess so. Yeah, that's the point where he does break bad. But the part that he really loses the audience, that you realize, like...
Oh, and he lets Jesse's girlfriend die?
That's right. That's it.
But see, that's...
At the end of season 2.
That's a ripoff of The Sopranos.
Tony does something similar?
You have to watch it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I don't know.
There's so many things that are ripoffs of The Sopranos. Like when Walter throws that fucking pizza on the roof, there's a scene just like that with a pizza when Tony and Carm are separated. He brings it over and she doesn't want it. He fucking throws it on the ground.
And it just stays out there for...
It doesn't. They didn't take it as far as Breaking Bad. The idea clearly came from it.
It's just throwing a pizza. Sometimes you throw a pizza. Yeah.
What's the name of the dude who did Breaking Bad? Gilligan?
Yes, James Gilligan.
Yeah, whatever the hell his name is. I've seen interviews where he says, you know, without... This is after Gandolfini died. He said, without Tony Soprano, there's no Walter White.
Well, I absolutely believe
ripped
that.
Off the whole fucking show.
I don't think it was...
The Bitch Wife.
I also haven't seen both, but...
The Distant Son.
You know, I'm sure it was heavily influenced.
The daughter
if it's as great of a show as you say it is, and I believe you, I'm sure other intelligent people think the same. Guys that are creating shows and can't help but have a little bit of that bleed into their...
It didn't have to be so heavily.
I mean, Walter's evolution, that's a huge... That's the emphasis of the show. And if you said that, like, the Sopranos isn't so much about a transformation, it's about, what, just painting a picture of a gangster...
It's a family drama, this show.
Family drama.
What it's about is what it's called. It's about the Soprano family.
Whereas, like, Breaking Bad didn't really develop... Walter White didn't really... Or Walter Jr. didn't really develop. Like, Skyler was always...
He was nothing.
These were all general static characters. They had a baby that, you know, was a baby. You know what I mean? Like, Skyler never really... It would have been different if she's like, you know what? She did play along at one point, but if she never really dove in with him, you know? That would have changed things, but... Yeah, it's more about him. It's a one-man show. And I guess, you know, if you're saying it's a family drama. I mean, you're right. I'm sure there's plenty of similarities. What do you think are other examples of that? Because that's intriguing. Like,
Shows that ripped each other off.
That are clearly influenced by, like, one or two other works prior to them that they're like, oh, yeah. Like, whether they're conscious of it or not, that are just like... Yeah, this movie is kind of like a Tarantino movie.
I would
say
that The Shield kind of plays off of The Wire and that you don't really like anyone by the time the show's over.
Gotcha.
But, like, those three HBO shows were such trailblazing shows. Like, Oz started airing in 96. And the first season of Oz, there were, like, graphic prison rape, like, shit that hadn't really been on TV prior.
You know, only good aired on HBO.
I mean, it blows my mind that more people haven't watched Oz. These shows are out there.
Because it's good or, like, I mean...
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's just people don't really find great shit unless there's somebody pushing them towards it, I feel like.
But, like, if you if you watched an episode or two of Oz, you'd be like, oh, yo, I recognize that dude. I recognize that dude.
Yeah.
Like, the dude who does the Allstate commercials, he's always Mayhem. He is one of the main characters
on
Oz.
He was also in, Burn After Reading, which was, like...
Do you know who J.K. Simmons is?
Yep.
He's a main character in Oz.
Yep.
The black dude from Ghostbusters 2 was in Oz.
Yeah, we were watching Ghostbusters 2 the other day.
Yeah. Same with The Wire. There's a ton of guys from that who are in other shit now. Idris Elba's in, like, everything.
Idris Elba is blown up, isn't he? Is he the new James Bond or what?
I heard no.
Okay.
James Bond can't be black, dude. Come on.
No, it's a different person. Yeah, you can have it set in the same universe. I guess it. There's no continuity. Who gives a shit?
But there's no continuity. But he can't be black.
Why not? I mean,
he's
always looked the same. No.
But he's always been white. Should he be a woman?
I can see it.
That's so fucked.
I don't think I think the best way to go about it would be to like have him to, James Bond is the name is like a Jason Bourne, and that could be a way to like tie all these people together. Just you know what I mean? That would make a lot of sense. I don't think they've officially done that, but I've heard that thrown around before, and that would make sense. You're James Bond. You're 007 now.
It's a different person. They just keep recycling them,
right? Those are insanely rewatchable movies. Those are good movies to chug. Those are ones
I saw something on the
like
Ringer.
Bruce Lee movies.
I saw something on the Ringer where they said Daniel Craig was the best James Bond ever.
All right, let's get into it.
Who do you think is? For me,
him or Pierce, man.
Pierce Brosnan, are you on crack?
I'm sorry. Those are the most recent. Sean Connery is right up there. Outside of
it's either him or Roger Moore for me.
See, those were Those were fun. I enjoyed those. I just, maybe it's because it was more recent and the better quality movie. And that quality.
That's what James Bond was supposed to be, kind of like campy, like
ish.
A spy flick.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be this big budget. Like, you saw Skyfall, right?
Jason Bourne kind of, probably, I feel like, rubbed off on James Bond a little bit.
Well, everything did. That's just how movies are made now. You saw Skyfall, right?
Yes.
That's not even, I mean, I enjoyed that movie, but it's not really a James Bond flick.
It is
the
modern
action
like,
movie.
Right. That's what they've become.
Javier Bardem's a good actor.
Casino Royale was a good Bond flick.
Yeah.
As long as you... You're right. Skyfall was a complete...
It wasn't a Bond movie.
Skyfall wasn't
the
a Bond
whole
movie.
Second half of it was him, like, holed up in that... In Skyfall, blowing shit up.
Which was awesome, but that was a Jason Bourne movie. Right.
Like
you
want
to have him
movie.
being sly and talking to people and making out with chicks and
yeah.
playing cards. Like that's Casino Royale was a good movie. That was a good debut. I feel like coasting.
I don't really remember Quantum of Solace too much.
No.
Casino Royale was good, though.
Is he Dunzo, though?
I heard he was.
Interesting.
I don't know. Should James Bond always be British?
James Bond. It helps, I think.
Does it?
Yeah. Or if you can...
Kevin Spacey should be James Bond.
Wow.
You got the range to pull it off.
You can't sell that guy as a spy. Right
Why
now.
Not?
Was he 60? 50?
I don't know. How old is James Bond? Roger Moore was pretty old.
Kevin Spacey does not look
like
a spy.
Look up Roger Moore as James Bond. You tell me if he's that much different than Kevin Spacey.
But that was a different time. You know?
Why don't you just Google... How old is Kevin Spacey?
His wife. He's 57.
It's not that old.
No.
Look up Roger Moore as James Bond. Two O's. Not how old he is. I know
he's 89 now. Yeah, I know. We're just... Give me a second.
I just want you to look at him, like, and playing that role.
Oh, okay, okay.
He was not a young man as James Bond. That's an older guy.
That is an older guy. He looks like Austin Powers. That's what he looks like.
I don't even know what the fuck he looks like. He looks like James Bond.
Austin Powers was the best.
Look at him in that, dude. He looks like, He looks like Regis
Kevin
Philbin
Kurt,
or something. Shatner.
Shatner, yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Spacey could
but
be
man,
that.
What was it, the 60s?
Yeah, something like that.
Now a spy has to look like a spy, I feel like. Otherwise,
that's what makes James Bond different. The same broccoli family has produced like every James
Sean
Bond.
Sean Connery's a big guy and he was young. Daniel Craig is an athlete.
Connery wasn't that young when he was Bond. And Daniel Craig was a departure.
But it's recent and now it's. I feel like it'll be tough. Yeah, you're right. Man, what if Kevin Spacey did get in shape? This guy's like 5'7 though.
How tall do you think Roger Moore was? Is Daniel Craig tall? I heard he was short. I don't care how old he is, so I don't know how tall he is. You're not gonna see that on image search.
You're
only 5'10.
He's 5'10.
You pull it off. Kiefer Sutherland pulled off Jack Bauer, and he's like 5'3.
There's no way he's that short.
Kiefer? He's really short.
He's 5'9".
Wow.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was short and an action star.
Tom Cruise was
Spacey
also,
could pull off Bond.
I like the idea of Kevin Spacey. I'm with you, man, on that. Like I enjoy Kevin Spacey. And I feel like he's arguably the most characteristic or most charismatic. Jeez, man, I'm shot right now.
The younger Anthony Hopkins is gonna pull
Denzel.
Off. Not Denzel.
Idris Elba.
Not Idris Elba either. It's not a racial thing. James Bond just isn't black. Do you want to watch a Harry Potter reboot with Will Smith's kid as Harry Potter?
I mean, we saw one with Will Smith's kid as Karate Kid, and I thought that Karate Kid was... No, did you see it? Did you watch it?
Thought it was good.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool. Jackie Chan?
I didn't think so.
I thought it was decent.
They don't need to reboot every movie.
Oh, no. I mean, we talk about the... idea of doing that. No, I'm against that. But, you know. Is that it? Are we done here?
No, we're still talking about James Bond. So Spacey's the best get, right?
Okay.
That dude who played Don Draper could do it. John Hamm.
John Hamm, yeah.
John Hamm.
Oh, man. Okay. Unless you got other names, I guess.
Little Bryan Cranston.
He's like 50-something, too, I guess. I mean, if you're right. It doesn't really matter, I guess.
Dude, the best Bonds were older guys. Pierce Brosnan just, everyone, because people our age play GoldenEye, so they always remember Brosnan as Bond. But they never, I think in the books, maybe they make it seem like Bond's an older guy. Who are you going to say?
No, I didn't have anybody in mind.
The Rock?
No.
Not The Rock.
No, I didn't really have anybody in mind. I was actually thinking about, I lost it. Sorry.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson could be, he could be Liam Neeson. He could be James Bond.
Christian Bale could be fucking James Bond.
What about the guy that plays Thor? Or
who's Thor?
Chris Hemming something. He's
Chris
British.
Hemming, anyway.
Yeah.
You don't have to be British to be Bond, do you? I guess it helps.
It does help.
But at this point, it doesn't even fucking matter.
They operate in London. Right?
Yeah. So I guess.
So, okay, this is a little off, but.
How off?
This is way off. Go ahead. Right. You got Bond thoughts? You got to finish up?
No, I'm good.
I don't know if I sent it to you, but it was Simmons and Carolla a few years ago.
We talked about pedophile.
We did talk about pedophile?
Yeah, with Schofield.
Oh, okay.
We're not rehashing pedophile.
I feel like we could come up with a movie like that.
I've been working on a movie for years. It's called, I don't remember what I called it. But it's a love story about a guy who's a sperm donor and ends up fucking one of his kids without knowing.
Is it a comedy?
You tell me. It's pretty dark.
No, it is a dark. How is it carried out? Like,
it's a rom-com.
Was it shot? Is it because was the music?
It's a rom-com.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
So he ends up falling in love with her.
Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to him.
But what happens when he finds out?
They kill the baby. That's how he finds out.
What happened to them?
I don't know. They just use protection from them.
Yes.
That's how he finds out.
I would watch that movie. That would not go well.
He finds out that they're related when the kid comes out, like, you know, like scrambled.
Okay, but then he continues doing it?
Yeah, he never met her.
But he realizes there's got to be a point in the movie where he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, after the kid comes out scrambled, like, why did this happen? And they find out, like, shit, you're my dad.
Right, and then what?
Keep doing it.
Okay, there's no real character arc, I feel like, unless they
just... Well, because I'm telling you in 10 seconds. It's a rom-com. Have you ever seen a rom-com?
I guess so, but I just can't see... I have. I like rom-coms.
Why?
Why? They're light. They're funny sometimes. They've got, you know... It's just kind of... It's easy. It's the easiest of watching. And there's nothing easy about that at the end when you're kind of... supposed to in a rom-com be rooting for the characters to make it. You're like, you're hoping Ben Stiller and Cameron Diaz get together or whoever, you know, and that can't be the case.
It's a twist. You don't know that they're related until about 3/4 through the movie.
Okay. And then
mm-hmm.
at that point you lose them. If they're like, let's stay together.
Why? Well, you've created a portrayal of them that's so perfect. The audience doesn't... They got to question whether or not they want them to stay together. It goes
so
against
this is,
everything.
So it starts off as a rom-com, but uh-huh. around 3/4 into the movie, it really takes this dark, philosophical turn.
Yeah, and they fight. It's illegal.
Or you turn the audience against
them. Incest is illegal in America.
And it's...
They take it to the Supreme
Court. You can say
it's
wrong.
They take it to the Supreme Court, like the end of Philadelphia.
So you can make it not seem wrong for the first 45 minutes, and then you just...
Like, you know how in Philadelphia the precedent was set, and they take it to the Supreme Court, and that's how...
Yeah.
It's a true story about how AIDS became illegal to discriminate against.
Okay.
That's what Philadelphia is about.
Right.
So this could be, like, the true story. I mean, I guess it hasn't happened yet. It would be the true story of how incest became legal. You know, our love is pure.
Ah, jeez, man.
You don't like that?
It's ambitious.
Yeah.
I'd take a deft hand and
it would be funny, though. Like, it would be funny.
It would be funny, and then it would be scary, and then it would be interesting. But mostly disgusting, I think.
Well, because he's a sperm donor, so he never met the mom.
So, but no, I think making that leap, 3/4 into the movie, deciding, shit, these people are related.
Not just related.
These people are
father and daughter.
Father and daughter.
Yeah.
And no, there's no coming back from that. I don't care how good of a director you are or how long you slave over lines, you can't make the audience agree with.
Because they have this kid that comes out, like, big-time retarded, right? Like, I'm talking, like, incest retarded.
This is not okay.
But we'll go with it. We'll go with it. So, it comes out like that, and it's, like, tugging at your heartstrings, like
right.
Like,
well, what's wrong? This is terrible for the couple.
Because you've made this, like, great couple that the audience is really invested in. And then their kid comes out scrambled, and you're, like, really invested. And then the doctor says, well, the doctor's, like, kind of disgusted, and he drops it on, and they don't know. And the doctor's like, you mean to tell me you don't know that your father and daughter? Boom.
And then what?
That's like Bruce Willis is dead the whole time.
But you said this is 3/4 the way through the movie. So what's the last quarter of the movie? The most...
Them fighting to get incest legalized.
So there's not even a section where they say, wow, this is, maybe we don't do this.
They're invested. They've been fucking each other.
I think that's unrealistic.
What are you
going to
do?
That's unrealistic.
What are you going to do?
I think there's a moment when the doctor drops that on him, there's a moment of introspection, maybe.
Yeah, okay. So they go their separate ways. But yeah, this is kind of like a rom-com. Like every romantic comedy, they have to fight, and then they break up, and then something pulls them back together.
Oh,
what pulls them back together? What pulls them back together?
I can't think of anything that the people would agree with.
I can't.
That's where this
it's
movie loses me.
Vulgar, but I was
so we're not going
to
go there. Until, I don't know, someday. Off
it is the No Rules Podcast.
This is the No Rules Podcast, but...
Well, it's not terrible, I was going to say. You want to hear it?
Whatever.
No, well, that's a bad idea.
Okay,
so
I'm just saying... Okay, that was a... I don't want to say that was a nice idea... But that was an idea that can be carried out that we can hash out over, whether on air or off. But that was a nice pod. That was a nice idea of a movie.
Well, I'm still on it.
Okay, we can. I don't want to say put it on the back burner, but let's.
You're
just,
invested too. What brings them back together?
Nothing. I can't. You lose me there, man.
No,
because at that point it stops being funny, and if it stops being funny and it takes a turn and it gets dark. Then it wipes away the comedy that did
it's groundbreaking.
Them.
Think about how many people in 1992 were uncomfortable seeing Tom Hanks and Antonio Banderas kiss in Philadelphia.
But yeah,
even Star Wars had incest, and that's the thing. There will be some like hardcore sex scenes of this, but it won't be after you find out they're related. It'll be before.
So that's more tasteful.
Yeah, because you know the audience. It's like building chemistry. It's good that they break up because they're both like disgusted with each other. I gotta think of what brings them back together.
That the people would understand.
Maybe Star Wars.
Hold
on. Incest isn't so bad.
No. What if she moves on? There's a long time break. She moves on and is with.
She's fucking another dude and calls him daddy and then.
No, we don't. How about they don't get back together and they just heal and get over this?
What's there to heal from? They didn't know.
Because they think about it and like, wow, this really fucked up. How do I live with myself? And then they kind of just go their separate ways and.
You know how at the end of The Usual Suspects.
The movie ends in a silly and light way. There it is. The movie is finished.
You know how at the end of Usual Suspects, he's looking at the board and he realizes, like.
Yeah.
He sees the thing.
Kobayashi or whatever it is.
Kobayashi's the bottom of the cup.
Yeah.
So he sees the thing and then he's like, wait. And then he starts slowly the cup drops, he realizes he's been played.
Yeah.
That could be like the girl's like banging some dude, she calls him daddy or something, and it's like the Usual Suspects type, like, wait, like I've been in love with my father this whole time. But something's gotta bring
and then she chooses to pursue him again. No, I don't I know where you wanted to take this movie. We all have known since we started hashing this out.
What?
Toward them, just that at the heart of the story, they get together and fall in love because that would be the weirdest, most fucked up possible thing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
No, the weirdest thing is that they come back to it.
Yeah, I know. This is terrible.
I like it. I think
it's
a good podcast.
That was a good podcast, and I prefer if we don't talk about that movie again on air, I guess. And instead, maybe I like the idea of hashing out, maybe not a pedophile or what we just did, but something like that. I think there's something to be. Like, it's the people going, I think. The people being us.
Well, here's the deal. I've received some feedback from several listeners since we recorded our last podcast. And the feedback was overwhelmingly positive and that we should go in a darker direction more often.
Really?
Yeah.
Says who?
That kid who was Schofield's buddy at the bar.
Okay. And
he's not Nick. A kid. He's a grown man. He's
man.
Tall.
He's a dude. So, yeah, I guess let's close talking about the site, I guess, what we're trying to do.
Yeah, for those of you listening to the Jim Barra Show with your host, Bill Anacino, we restarted a website. We've rebooted it. If you've been listening since the beginning, you know that this started at a different website.
Yeah.
Then we
this was Hardfell Sports.
Yeah, it was
Hardfell
Sports. Then it was No Rules. Still No Rules. Now we are not another sports site. We're currently populating the site.
Yeah, and we're really just, this might say the No Rules podcast, but that's where we're headed. We're headed to No Rules, or to the not another sports site.
We want to kind of make it like a barstool sport so you don't hate yourself for reading.
That's a way of thinking about it. It's also just going to be a spot where we write funny and possibly insightful things about sports mostly and throw up our podcasts and podcasts from our friends, and it's going to be quality content. And that's all we can promise. I don't know if it's going to be Barstool or whatever, but you can go there to find some people you might like reading or might like listening to.
Pretty much us.
It's pretty much us.
So. If you like our podcast, then you might be interested in reading something we write.
Yeah.
There might be someone else writing here and there. If you want to write, email us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how, we don't have an email set up. Yeah, we will.
We'll
have an email
set up. We
will,
just stay tuned. You know, maybe hit us up, comment on here, and we'll get in touch. And yeah, that's the gist of it. It's going to be notanothersportsite.com. And
already is.
Already
we'll
is.
Look at it if you want.
Yeah,
it's
by the
pretty
time
shitty website.
Check it out. It might be set up. But yeah, that's the gist of it. And
that's episode 18 of the Jim Barra Show with your host, Bill Anacino.